Lagos, Nigeria, wherever you are tuning in the world. Welcome to Borderlines. Yes, my second show of the day. As you know, every Friday on Borderlines, you come correct or you collect. I actually think that's perfect, given my first guest today. So today we're going to be steering to two borders. One, we're going to West Africa, Niger, Mali, Burkina Faso, Senegal, you name it. We're talking ECOWAS, we're talking about the conflicts across West Africa. What is going on? We need to make head or tail. We need to make sense of it all. But before that, in case you didn't know, today is the 1st of March, right? And today is the beginning of International Women's Month. Yes, so we have International Women's Day on the 8th of March, but the whole month is International Women's Month. It is the month of women. Okay? So I have with me a very, very special guest. I don't know if my guest is there. Can I see my guest on screen, please? Can I see my guest on screen, please? Is my guest there? Okay. Right, while she's joining, let me read her profile to you. She is the founder of Emerge Women Development Initiative and the CEO of the Access Media Group. She is an APC House of Representative aspirant for Arochukwu in Ohafia Federal Constituency in 2023. She is the Department of for Foreign Development Nigerian Infrastructure Advisory Facility consultant, working as the head of communications at the subsidiary Reinvestment and Empowerment Program, commonly known as SURE-P of the federal government. She has worked as the lead consultant. I can see her on the screen now. She has worked as the lead consultant at Access Media Limited. She served as special advisor to the Minister of Information and Communications. In this role, she implemented schemes to expand government outreach, generate funding for advocacy groups, and refine governmental communication processes. My guest, my lovely guest, my esteemed guest, I'm smiling. I can see, I hope this network is not going to let matters down. Right? Is Ms. Mary Ikoku. Mary, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Mary?
I can hear you.
Excellent. Excellent. Can you hear me now? Is that better?
I can hear you.
Excellent. Welcome, Mary. Welcome to Borderlines.
Hi.
It's my pleasure.
You ready?
Yes. And you're looking splendid. And I love what you're wearing.
Oh, thank you.
You're looking absolutely splendid. So, you know, you heard me read out your experience, and that's not even all of it. You have vast experience, you know, in all sort of all the brackets or all the pigeonholes of nation building, women building, activism, womanism, etc. You have been there. You have done it, Mary, which is why it is an absolute pleasure. I've always wanted to interview you, have that conversation live on air, because you do not negotiate with nonsense. All right. So on Borderlines, we say you either come correct or you collect. And I know that's what you're about. So we're going to be talking about, you know, it's International Women's Day. The theme is accelerate progress. Let's talk about, firstly, in your vast experience, if you were to sum up where we were or where we are in Nigeria right now with regards to the progress of women, the emergence of women, even before into politics, just generally, how would you sum it up?
Well, thank you very much, Chirechi, for that question. I would think that, just to say that women in Nigeria, I mean, the advocacy for women inclusion and all in Nigeria has come a long way. Mm. And if you remember, I think that today, March 1st, mm-hmm. actually marks like 2 years. Is it 2 years? Of what happened in the Ninth Assembly, the day
yeah.
the Ninth Assembly, you know, killed all 5 gender bills,
yeah.
Which Nigerian women are putting so much effort as drafting.
Mm.
So I think that was one of the things that left a sour taste in our mouth. But I think this 10th Assembly has a great opportunity to fix all that was wrong with the laws of the 9th Assembly as it regards the gender bills. Then history and journey of women in Nigeria, we've come a long way. We've come from a place where we didn't have a voice, we couldn't vote, we didn't have to work, or we were just housewives, to a time where we're beginning to actually call the shots in some quarters, where we are able to have bank CEOs that are women, where we are able to have women leading tech world and women ministers and women architects, women who are now occupying spaces.
Mm-hmm.
The number is not yet what we are clamoring for. So while we continue to still advocate for more, it's also very important that we list out some of the gains and progress that have been made in addressing the gender imbalance that have been in place for so many years. Something I termed the historical imbalances.
Indeed.
And those historical imbalances predated the birth of some of us, but I'm very proud of the women and the he for she's who are constantly giving their voices and standing in the gap to see that most of the gaps that exist are closed up in terms of gender parity.
Indeed, thank you. That's a great way for us to start. And I really like the fact that you mentioned that infuriating, I'm going to be frank, that infuriating action of the National Assembly to throw out practically every gender bill that was put in front of them. And I remember you were part of the women, we're on the same group, who went out to confront them. And they were scared. It's, what's interesting is when women really come together, men get very scared, irrespective of how powerful they are. Not so?
Very much so.
Why do you think that is? Because it's like the fear of women is the beginning of wisdom.
I think that is it really about the fear of women? It's also about the fear of the worth of women.
Mm.
The fear of knowing that when women make up their mind, when they come together, when they coalesce for a cause, that they do better and they take over the world.
Mm.
If you remember the about women's riot of 1922, when the British, I think, colonial masters, they had these tax policies that didn't really pan out well for the masses. And the men were just playing politics around it. But the women took to the streets and brought down a revolution that really created a change of that policy.
Mm.
I needed to also add that there's something, I don't know, I think we lost it at some point, that Nigerian women historically are not women who sit at home and wait to be fended for originally. I am Igbo, and Igbo women, the Igbo culture have always had this very big partnership of the men and women. So we are partners in progress from origin. While the men planted the cash crops, the women had their own crop, they were all farming together. Mm. They were doing work together. But I think it's at the invent of the colonial masters, where, because I think this culture, this history is very important for us, so we know where the rain started beating us. Mm. So these colonial masters came down here with some of the women who were like mistresses or spouses that just had to sit around, decorate their vehicles, and really have no work doing. Mm. And that was where this policy of housewife came from. My grandma had worked in PT&T then and drove a car, and people thought, oh, she was behaving like a man. But at the event, when the British, when the colonial masters came, they felt women, just like the mistress the men came with, were sitting on the couch and watching whatever, servicing them. They brought that policy that really retrogressed the quality of women that we had here. Our women had always worked, we've always been partners in progress with our men. So colonialism did much to even the gender parity than we can imagine. So going forward, I think we also need to, because what is my pain point right now, or an area I struggle with, where we are having this set of people telling us what to do in terms of advocacy for gender balancing. And it comes from a place of where I'm seeing the signs of this colonialism in parts of it that is not homegrown. That, so I think that another thing we need to look at is decolonizing feminism when we are addressing issues of Africa. We need to decolonize it, because I still see some quantum aspect of that in even the work that we do. I'll give you an instance. If you want me to address an issue of, let's say, sexual violence, you must decolonize it and take away, bring back that time where we were partners in progress, and not the system that made me a woman to be housewife or some decorative to. That has to really be, we need to own our conversation. We need to own, it has to be feminism on our own terms. Mm. So we bring up our beautiful cultural heritage and entwine it with what works in international best practices, and then own it on our own. It has to be on our own terms. So if you're giving me funds and you expect me to allow certain culture that does not align with my own belief as an African, I will not mention this kind of issues here on radio. But we all know that there are certain things that are illegal here that is allowed in other spaces. Mm. So if we are working in development, you'll be able to let me run this show within the bounds and legal structure of my own country, and not what obtains in your own country.
Right. So,
I think these are some of the conversations we also need to have.
Yes, I like that, because what you're effectively saying is we have to be allowed to actually implement and spend money in our society in the way that's nuanced to us, because we're not like them, if you like, you know. What we are like is what we are like, and we know where the pain points are. That brings me to this current administration, right? This current administration, would you say, especially as you were a former aspirant under APC, would you say this current administration has done better on gender equality, especially with regards to positions, you know, ministerial, and if you like, you know, senior positions that's not necessarily ministerial within this, within Tinubu's administration? Has he gone far enough?
I think that I would say that the administration of President Bola Ahmed Tinubu have taken a leap from where we're coming from.
Okay.
If you recall, we had just a handful of them in the country.
Mm.
So I think that President Bola Ahmed Tinubu has looked had rejected that part of us, where you are now seeing from my own side of the country, you are seeing like you have women like Nkiru Konye Jocha, Doris, Uju Kennedy, and quite a number of them from my side of the country. I'm sure that from your own side, you also have women who are ministers.
Mm.
So it's no longer like all the ministers, all the few picked, hand-picked ministers are from one section.
Right.
So that has been corrected. Are we there yet? No. A lot more work still needs to be done.
Mm.
Particularly owing to the fact that President Tinubu had also given so much promises. And your word, as a president, your word should be your bond. So when he said he would make women and youth inclusion priority of his administration, what that means is that when he puts together his cabinet, that he said the minimum he can do is 35% affirmative action.
Mm.
And what that could have translated to is that if he had 20 ministers, 35% of that will be women.
Yeah.
And when you get to his board of appointment of special advisors, if there are 20, it will be 35% of that 20 should be women.
Mm.
And if you're going to board appointments, DGs of parastatals, and executive directors of agencies, that 35% of that those appointments should be women. Have we seen that be the case? Not quite. So that's why I said there's still room for the president to really keep to his social contract with the women of Nigeria.
Indeed.
Because that is where you benchmark on how faithful a government have been or how well they've done. And now we go down to critical infrastructure building and all of that. But when it comes to women and youth inclusion, we want to thank him, but we want to say he can do much more.
Okay. And I'm glad you mentioned about infrastructure. One of the infrastructures that's suffering in Nigeria fundamentally is health and education, both of which actually affect women much more than it affects men. Have you seen an improvement at all in that education infrastructure with regards to availability and ease for girls to be able to be part of the education system? And of course, with regards to women and access to good health, have you seen that? Oh, dear.
I don't know if this is happening.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you hear me? Did you hear me, Mary?
At the last part.
Okay.
I didn't get your last part.
The first part is education and girls, access for girls to education. Is it better? And the second part is healthcare and access to good healthcare for women, especially maternal health, primary healthcare. Is it better? Or, you know, where do we need to get to?
So this has been quite cranky, epileptic network.
Yeah.
Now, these are some of the infrastructural challenges in dealing with. So I don't know if you can hear me.
Yes, I can.
But one, in terms of education,
hello? Oops, the network, I think the bandwidth is Low, Lagos, Nigeria. You can join the conversation on 0700-993-993-993. The female-only line is 0201-465-7190. You can send a WhatsApp message to 0809-597-5805. Our website is nigeriainfo.fm. Facebook and YouTube is Nigeria Info 99.3. Twitter is Nigeria Info FM. Instagram and Threads, you can find us on Nigeria Info FM Lagos. I've got Mary back now. Mary, you're back.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, so, you were saying this is much better. We're lucky again. Go ahead, you were saying.
Again. So I was saying that girl child education is, something that we are still dealing with. But there have been a lot of promises. There have been a lot of, I think the present government of Bola Ahmed Tinubu is going to be different in terms of education of the girl child. And I'll tell you why I feel so.
Okay.
He has made specific promises. Mm-hmm. In terms of his agenda for women. And I think there were like 5-point agendas that are just strictly for women empowerment, women addressing women, the needs of women and girls in Nigeria. And education is one of those key agendas, but it's just to make those agenda to become policies and to become effectively implemented. And that's when we will be able to clap and when we see the outcome where we're having more girls, and when the data will change from when you have this number of X number of out of school children and you say that 70% are girls.
Yeah.
So when we begin to see figure that puts that figure very, very, that at a very reduced rate, then we will begin to say, yes, effectively, this administration is keeping to their words. But I am very hopeful because the signs are there that he dedicated like 5 key spots just for women, and education was number one on that list. Education is priority on the list. And if you look at the student loan and all of that, they all gear towards the education of the women, because it's not just about male children now, it's about both gender. So it is just also for us as a community of nation, a committee of nations, to states, to ensure that our girls are sent to school and not to be house help somewhere. That our girls are sent to school and not to be in the market with the mother. That we need to understand that there's the things that constitute child labor and not a child helping the parent. The child should be in school and let that child be in school. And even Nigerian constitution as currently constituted is very specific on this matter, that every child born in Nigeria should have access to a compulsory and free education. Now, while this is enshrined in our constitution, what is now important is implementation, seeing to it that even parents understand that these things are in place. Even though you may say they are for government and public schools, let our public schools also be fixed. Let us train the teachers. Let the government invest in education. I've looked at this year's budget. We also begin to look at budgets that are gender focused, where the budget is also looking at taking care of the girl in school and looking at how government can take off taxes from sanitary pad, those things that keeps girls away from school at certain time in the month. You know, government can actually take care of those issues. Sometimes people walk around them in these intersections in silos. But when you bring all of them together, you understand that they all come together, and there are some of the things that also get girls out of school. So when you address them, whether it's socio-political, whether it's core educational indicators, whatever they are, whether it's economics of it, the most important thing is that they all need to be addressed. Because you cannot address the issue of education haphazardly. You have to start from your budget. So the right budget for inclusive education has to be in place.
Right.
And then when you go beyond that, there have to be effective communication of what the law says to parents. They need to understand that. And then national orientation need to wake up to its duty. I saw them suddenly rise, you know, do some graphics recently on Nigerians to be patient. And I love that, you know, they can take it a notch higher and, you know, look at different sectors, especially edu sector, and begin to look at what the president has promised in that area. And once it's been done, and begin to effectively disseminate this information so that those who are in the blind media sector would know. If you're in a radio battery community, you'll be able to understand, because the National Orientation Agency do have that duty to create that awareness even at the grassroots level.
Thank you.
It's just for us to make every sector work. And that's when everything will come together. And then the other thing you talked about was health.
Health, that's right. Yes.
Health of women. I mean, our health sector, we're still dealing with that. But what is the best practice? It could be, say, 100 patients to a doctor. Yeah, you are still having maybe 2,000 patients to one doctor. Mm-hmm. And that's not something we can be proud of. But it still touches on the budgeting for healthcare.
Right.
And seeing how we can, how government can also look at health insurance. The NHIS is really growing, because I have some huge amount of people who have come under that program, the National Health Insurance Scheme. But I think most of them are civil servants or government workers, or it can be extended if it hasn't been to ordinary Nigerians, because that's low cost health care. Health insurance. So if people can have access to that health insurance, let our and also beef up on our healthcare sector. And we got it right. The health minister is one of those key appointments that the president made that everybody clapped
for. Yes, yes.
So that sector seems to be a sector, it's like the immigration, what's happening with the passport and all of that. Experience with the health sector. So I when productive health should come on the front burner. Women rights to their health, right to their body, right.
Yeah.
Even if you are the father, she has a right to decide whether to even be pregnant. Reproductive health are things more on, and when a woman gets to the hospital, duty bound to clerk this woman. When you're able to ask relevant questions of domestic abuse to that woman who is pregnant, but all those things are, woman comes with pregnancy. You are more interested in doing all the relevant tests, but the emotion to pull through that 9 months of gestation, they are not at hospitals to begin to, oh my God.
I can hear you. Keep going.
We need our hospitals to begin to also begin to have behavioral doctors and people, emotional doctors, as all the doctors need to, or nurses need to train around emotional
and empathy,
and behavioral and mental issues. Very, very important.
Yeah.
So that when a woman who is pregnant comes to your hospital, when you are taking down her disease, you'll be able to ask her, how is the home front? Are you going through any kind of, these are places you can discover some of these issues. If not, some of them go through a pregnancy, they are being beat, battered in that pregnancy. There may be internal hemorrhage. Once she just puts to bed, she dies. You don't know the cause. The root cause may have been that she's dealing with domestic violence, which haven't been discovered. So I think our hospitals really need to, our healthcare system needs to do much more than they're doing. But where we are, I am also hopefully, again, based on the competencies of the man who is leading the charge, the Honorable Minister of Health.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Maria. That was vast, and I hope the network allowed most of you, my listeners, to be able to grasp that. Interesting, you mentioned Uju Kennedy. She's been in the news again this week. She was in the news, and you also mentioned about the importance of educating our children, not just girls, just educating our children. Last year, September, Uju Kennedy was also in the news, where she advocated for less school days for children and for them to spend Fridays working in factories. This week, Uju Kennedy said, quote, "Women should shut up." Shut up, she said, unquote. In other, you know, when instead of arguing with the other half. I'd like your response on that. Given that the little, you know, I think Tinubu has what, like 8 or so women in his incredibly large cabinet. Uju Kennedy occupies one of those important seats. And the most important office to us is the Office of Women's Affairs. And we continue to hear this from her. How important is it that the woman that occupies that seat, that office, that leads that office, is actually connected and has an understanding of the issues, not just of the issues, but of the efforts that have gone in the past, like you mentioned, the efforts and the sweat, blood and tears that have been invested for Nigerian women to get to this point where we're still saying we still have a long way to go. How important is it for us to have the right woman in that office? And I'm going to put you on the spot. Is Uju Kennedy the right woman?
Well, it is, you said, how important is it to have the right woman in that office? Of course, it is absolutely very, very important. Because if you don't have the right woman on that job, what that means is that if you have the wrong woman there, it's going to mess up and retrogress all of the progress that Nigerian women have made so far. It will retrogress all that progress. So the need to have the right woman on the job, or the right man and the right woman on any job, just put square pegs in square holes and round pegs in round holes. And then coming to Uju Kennedy, the Honorable Minister for Women Affairs, who is my sister and my party member as well. I think that the president's appointment of Barrister Uju Kennedy is well intended. And I also believe that Uju Kennedy herself has a passion. Her heart is in that job. But the area that we may need to have issues is how she comes across with her. So the passion drives her to say things or go. I don't know how to describe this part now, but it becomes very harmful to the overall project of women. So her recent comment, what I see in that, and I see sometimes, the last comment I was on TV about was when she talked about women, when the media flagged the issue of women, she advocating for women not to pay taxes, right? But my quick response to that was that it was a misconception or misfiring, because what she was actually addressing specific women, because I'm not sure I fall into the category of her women, because she was talking about her women. Now, these her women are indigent women, the poor of the poorest, women who she's trying to empower, so to say. Now, those were the women in that space where she was responding to that interview. And then she said, my women, don't stress my women, do not disturb my women, do not give my women tasks. And that task was T-A-S-K. And then she was addressing the tax force. Yes, she was addressing the tax force, you see. But I've been around, I mean, the media sometimes can also, she also makes herself, she gives the media the vibe.
But she said these things, Mary. I know she's your sister, but she said these things, right?
This one about us. This one about us.
You're saying that it's that one is it's a pronunciation issue. Yeah.
Yeah. So I can remember about the tax one. Mm. Now for the one about shut up. Even with all her good intentions for those women, it rubs in quite so off color for the overall good and sanity of women all over Nigeria. Women who are in marriages and women who are dealing or have to deal with intimate
partner violence.
Mm. What that statement does is that it kind of gives a coloration that will peak and make somebody quiet or shut up, even in the face of intimate violence.
Mm.
Now, that brings to mind the issue of patriarchy. We must understand that patriarchy is not a man.
Mm.
Rather, patriarchy is a system. And that system can be supported, sponsored, fueled by a man
Or a woman.
In the same vein is what you see in feminism.
Mm.
My husband is a very strong, I've not seen a feminist that is as strong, a strong feminist like my husband.
Mm.
But he's a man.
Mm.
But he's truly and truly constantly advocating for the rights of women and girls. Mm. He has no daughter.
Mm.
But now, this is how he's been raised, to understand parity. He was raised in a 50-50 home.
Mm.
So you can't have the same measure for a man or woman who has been raised under strong patriarchal family.
Indeed.
So what is being advocated here has a ripple effect which may not go well for women.
Mm.
So a woman whose daughter is in a home where she's being verbally abused daily and she keeps short, that is going to be a lifestyle for her daughter and her son.
Mm.
Her son is going to grow up to get tomorrow and hound the young woman that will come into his life.
Indeed. The lines are going, Mary. The lines are going. My people want to speak with you. You can call back now. 0700-993-993-993. The female-only line. Mary, we're the only station that has a female-only line in Nigeria. The female-only line is 0201-465-7190. I told you they've been calling. Now the lines have gone live. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, good afternoon. What's your name and where you calling from, please?
My name is Jerry.
Okay, Jerry, ask your question. Mary can hear you.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Sorry, Jerry. You snooze, you lose. You have to call back. Hello? Hello?
Yes. Hello?
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, madam.
What's your name and where you calling from, please?
I'm Igwe and I'm calling from Ogun State.
Okay, go ahead, Igwe. Your question, please.
My contribution is that every man must know that woman is not a slave. Women have their own rights. they have their own part to play in the family and very, very vital. Like for me, my I have three children, to God be the glory. My first child is a lady, while the other two are men. And I make sure that both the mother and my daughter are well taken good care of. And for me at home, I also make sure I assist in doing all the jobs to make sure it's not too much, especially for my wife, because my wife is not a slave.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Igwe. Thank you. Mary, I hope you can hear them. You can call back. Sorry, I had to let Igwe speak. I mean, that's who we call a he for she, isn't it? Hold on. The lines are going again. Hello?
Good evening, Cecilia.
Good evening. What's your name and where are you calling from, please?
Good evening to your guest as well.
Mary can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. I'm Mrs. Oboli. I'm calling from Ikorodu.
Okay.
I want to commend you for a lot you've said today, you and your guest. But I don't know. Over the years, I've had experiences with women at the helm of affairs. And I'd rather approach a man in an establishment than a woman. Okay. Reasons being that, I feel jittery whenever I approach a woman.
Right.
Okay, I'll give you instances. Some of the people...
You can only give one instance because the lines are alive.
Okay. Some of the people I've tend to, you know, approach. You know, there's this, like, do you know how long it took me to get here? And it's always... There's just that hot... I don't know, maybe it's the way they are wired or something. It made me even say it in my mind that I'd rather vote for a male president than see a woman get into power. Even as much as I advocate that women should be in good places or positions of power. I have a special child. My second son is a special child. He's down with cerebral palsy. And recently, I was supposed to go and pick an admission letter for him. Sisi Oge, my experience, I almost cried because the woman frustrated my effort. A man was willing to come to my rescue, but the woman frustrated the living life out of me. I had to go to and fro before I was able to pick it. I don't think anything can change my notion, because over the years, I have always had these issues, you know, going to meet women at the helm of ourselves, and it has been a very distasteful experience.
I'm so sorry, Mrs. Oboli.
Or something gives to change my notion about that.
Thank you.
And God bless.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Oboli, and I'm so sorry. Mary, I'm going to let you come in there before I answer any other calls. I'm going to give you 3 minutes, because especially Mrs. Oboli's question, and we hear it, don't we? We hear that where you approach another woman and it seems like, you know, she's got all her walls up, and then you go to a man and he's got all his walls down. What's going on?
Well, that's an unfortunate situation, and I think that her experience, just to say that women are not homogeneous. What that woman did to her for not giving her assistance, it could have been, if that same woman were to be a man, she would have been the same way. That's the character of that person.
That's right.
And it's not about her gender. So when we have certain expectations because of gender, it shouldn't be so. The truth is that men can help you, women can also help you. Men even go as far as killing each other.
True.
I don't think women have even gotten to that point in politics where a woman takes the life of another woman. But there have been stories where a man actually had to eliminate a man that is on his way.
That's right.
So wickedness resides in every gender. Corruption resides in every gender. So let's take away, I feel so sad she had that experience. I've had my own fair share of experience too, but I've also enjoyed the support of women. So for one woman who has disappointed me and threw me under the bus, are 1,001 other women who have helped me up.
Thank you.
So I cannot throw away the goodness of the thousands of women because of the pain gotten from one action of one woman. So I think we need to be very careful around the narrative and how we see life in itself and the outcomes of our expectations, or the lack of the wrong outcomes from what we expect. I've had times, this same woman, if let's look at the power differences, because I think that's the missing link. Mm-hmm. If you look at the power differences, a man can easily probably dole out money to you, mm-hmm. because the other woman is dealing with financial challenges.
Mm.
She may not come through for you in terms of finances.
Or how you expect her to.
She can help you pick your child in school.
Mm.
She can help you pick a grocery in the market.
Mm.
She can support you, come to you and be with you when you are going through pain.
Mm.
So women's support may be softer. And until we address the historical imbalances, where women begin to own their own resources and have that strong financial war chest.
Mm.
But don't forget,
I've got another really key question
around politics.
Yeah, because we don't have time.
They go through, you know, if a man go through one problem, they go through it times 10 for the agenda.
Mm.
So when they eventually get there, some of them who were not properly raised, who were wicked from the time of their birth, they go there, instead of becoming woman leaders, they become gatekeepers.
And that's what I want to ask you. That's the part I want to bring in, Mary, if I could interrupt you.
And they lock the gate and throw the key away.
If I may interrupt you, because we're running out of time, we've just literally got 8 minutes left. That's the part I wanted to bring in, is that since in Tinubu's administration, the one woman, the one person that has been suspended, sacked, whatever it is a female, Beta Edu, and it's actually the whole allegation has two or three women as a part of it. And I'm hearing women saying, why my gender now? They're a disgrace to women. I'm one of those that often says, no, they're not a disgrace to the women. They're a disgrace to themselves. What do you say to that? I'm going to give you in a minute. What do you say to that? Because the lines are still going. I have a question on WhatsApp that I need to put to you. What do you say to that? Are they a disgrace to women or a disgrace to themselves?
It's a disgrace to the woman and her own family.
There you go.
Just herself. She's a disgrace to herself.
Mm-hmm.
But it has effect on the women.
That's right.
Because if you look at the anti-corruption index by UNODC 2 years ago, it says that men are more likely to be more corrupt than women. And in fact, the figure of women who are corrupt are very little.
Mm.
And of course, that's understandable because men are the one in all these positions. So they have more access and they are more likely to be more corrupt. So when a woman, what has happened to Edu is rather unfortunate. She may have made mistakes. I really don't, I'm not fully sure I understand the specifics of her matter, because some men were also named
absolutely
in her matter.
Absolutely.
They're still on the job.
Yes.
So I think that the lenses in this anti-corruption should be very, very undistorted and
balanced.
And just deal with everybody who is guilty decisively.
Yeah, indeed. I have a question here. Somebody says, Mrs. Mary, what do we do about men who think that women have little brain or are less matured compared to men?
That women have no...
The men that think that women have little brains and are less matured compared to men, what do we do about them? In 1 minute.
What do you do about somebody who has a convoluted mindset?
The question is, what do we do about men? The person wants to know, what do we do about men who believe that women have little brain, a small brain?
Who think
that women have a small brain compared to men? Are you able to hear me? No, you're not. Don't worry.
Men who think that women are what?
That women have a small brain.
Oh, interesting. Is there an empirical evidence from where that is coming from? Because my little science knowledge that I know is that actually women are smarter, and if you want your children to be intelligent. You have to be looking for a very intelligent woman because the brain cells of development of children are akin to the sharpness of their mother. So if women's brain are that little and they can't do much like men, why are men advised to medically look for brilliant women so that, because that's where their children's brilliance and intelligence, it comes from their mother.
I don't know
who did that study, but that has been in place. And a man with that kind of mindset, after having a mother and sisters or even wife, is that maybe he's a reflection of the kind of women in his own life. I don't know.
Absolutely.
But I believe that if he has brains, he won't have assets. Some people have convoluted DNAs. So it may be what is at play here and not really the truth of the brains of women.
Thank you. Mary, we've run out of time. I understand, right? We've run out of time. The lines are still alive. You and I could talk forever, like literally. The conversation was just getting heated. Yeah, some people have convoluted DNA. Una don't hear. I know my pigeon is rubbish, but una don't hear now. International Women's Month begins today. Some people have convoluted DNA. Go check who your papa be or who your mama be. My guest, Mary Coco, looking absolutely radiant and sunny in yellow. On a white background with a slight green to it. Mary, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on the show. A great show you have here, my sister. Very well done. Good job. Keep it going.
Oh, thanks, Mary. Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a fabulous weekend.
You too.
All right. Bye. Be well. Bye-bye.